Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer.
Welcome to the catch up where we talk about what's going on in our lives. Today we're having a yarn off air that we want to bring on air because.
Well, no, this is the thing. You've arrived at a podcast channel, so it's not just one show that you get all of the time. It's the same, which are also stunning. Like if you listen to an interview series or a doco kind of series, it's the same kind of show on that one feed. What you have landed on here is a channel whereby there's all different kinds of episodes depending on what day it is. And as Stace said, this is the catch up, just a yarn between us.
That's right, because women are complex. It isn't one way or the other. And so welcome. And if you are a really big fan of what we do, please come to a live show. We're doing a tour in December. You can find ticket information at thethinkergirls.com.au across the country. Shout out to those of you in Adelaide. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Well, we had it. The other day, we were like, is there anybody, not just that likes our podcast living in Adelaide, is there anyone just in general living in Adelaide?
Yeah, we kind of decided to come because we knew that our radio show was there and that
Don't forget cheap flights too.
Yeah, we wanted to make, and we wanted to look after everyone, slash it was also economical. sorry, Perth. But now we're just starting to wonder if we should have made this move. So if you know someone from Adelaide or you've got an idea of a group of people and you know you're thinking about coming, let us know. We'd love to know that you exist.
Or maybe you do an Adelaide weekend. Like you live in Melbourne and you plan a gals weekend trip to Adelaide to see our show.
Well, we actually laughed and said
other things.
We laughed and said that can be Perth's solution, which was just sinister. It was so mean.
That's mean.
Yeah.
But also, Perth, saw your flights out. They're very expensive and the time difference is just a logistical nightmare.
We can't just carrying ourselves now. We've got a team. It's like $5,000 for flights.
Legit though.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, we will get to you, Perth, at some point. I can't promise that, but that is the plan.
Yeah.
But Adelaide, pull your socks up. If you exist, we'd like to see you.
Catch up. I want to talk today about something that was a very confronting moment for me yesterday. We have started doing a 9-week fitness challenge mm-hmm. with Vision Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both, for different reasons. It's not something we've ever done really ever before. You in
no.
particular, not a gym kind of gal. What I wanted to take out of this to talk about was the fact that I got on the scales for the first time in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite confronted at what I saw, and not because of what you'd think.
Okay, so let's also we'll both talk about our weight. I reckon, like
yeah.
bring up, just say our number and
yeah.
own it. And I don't really want to talk about this, but this is kind of what we were talking about, so
yep.
we thought we'd start rolling with it, and so we continue the conversation. We're having a conversation about who we thought or think. If it might be happening to you right now. For me, it was a thought. For Christy, it's a think. Our exes will end up with.
Yeah, the next partner that they're with.
Or maybe their forever partner. And
yeah.
so we were rolling this conversation because my ex that I'm thinking of has a partner. And,
let's start there.
And I also am my husband's partner to his ex. Do you know what I mean? So there's like all these different things. Like I am also the girl. And
that's
I wonder
right.
if my husband's ex imagined me
yes.
as being this girl.
And have you had a conversation with Ben about that?
Nah.
Or anybody or even any of his friends? Because it is interesting when you meet somebody or you know them really well. I think as much as you're like you can be open and things come in different packages, there is a bit of an underlying thought process somewhere where you go, I reckon this is the kind of person that you'll end up with.
Okay, so I'm trying to cast my mind back to the time where it was like a raw breakup, which is going on like 8 years ago now.
A really long time.
But I remember thinking, I think I may have been accurate. I remember thinking that he may have ended up with someone that was similar,
yeah,
but was much more accepting of that real, I suppose, underlying sexist kind of behavior. And when I say sexist, it's not so much of like, you do the dishes or, you know, you don't work when we have a baby.
Not that blatant.
No, it wasn't blatant. It was always really underlying. Like there was this kind of effervescent energy around the boys group that I've spoken about really quite, I don't know, what's the word, extensively on the course of our show about the pack and the boys group and this idea that essentially it rules all, kind of. So even if it's like a Saturday night and, you know, Jimmy fucking won his game or I don't know, someone got a bet up and won $1,000, it doesn't matter what you had on. Like no matter what,
that trumps
yeah. everything. Mm. And I just think there was always going to be similarities of who I was because there were parts that I guess did work and I was the one to end it. So I'm assuming, you know, there were parts that were still that he was happy with. I just think that that was probably the biggest factor of stuff that is a very simple person that he wanted. Mm. And so I feel like that personality, and I have absolutely no idea who his partner is, but I have this intuition or this assumption that he got it.
Okay. So basically a version of you but just tweaked in a way that worked in better with where he was at.
Basically for him, you know.
The end would be a much better match, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And also he's hoping that that works for her. No one's to say that that wouldn't work for a woman.
Mm.
Some women, you can be different. You can not really worry about that. If you're going to a dinner with friends and all of a sudden you get the call where a guy, your partner is going, oh, Tommy's just won $1,000 on the punt. He shouted us, you know, all these cocktails here. I'll just catch you for a drink later.
I've got, yeah, because you're right. I've got mates of mine that are very self-respecting that, you know, like know what they stand for, that have dudes in their life that they've seen now or in the past that is just pretty happy with that being the way that it is because there's this sense of familiarity of, you know, of your dad and maybe even, you know, generations before then if that's kind of what dudes do. And in a way it's kind of masculine and an attractive
You know? And some people are totally comfortable with that. And that's the interesting thing, I guess, with a lot of the things I talk about with partnerships or dudes and women, even with us as women, it's so important to understand that, you know, particularly because I am so opinionated and quite strong in my own form and the way I see the world, that isn't the way everybody sees the world, you know, and that's certainly not what I'm about of trying to say that because he doesn't come to dinner. To be fair, most of my close-knit friends would agree with me, I got to say. I do surround myself with like-minded people, so I can be in a bit of a bubble sometimes because I would have my friend across the table going, where the fuck?
Yeah,
the
and
fuck?
I'd be saying the same thing.
So
yeah.
you surround yeah. yourself with those kinds of people, but that might not be for everybody.
Mm.
It might be okay for some people.
I don't know why, but recently I've been having this thought process. I don't know if it's because it's clocked over a year of being single or now.
I think it's important to preface by saying we were talking about your ex first.
It's random for you 8 years on now married, very happy to be like, yeah, so anyway, is my ex with a gal that I think is good? No. Yeah, it came up I was intrigued about where you sat having been a lot further on from a big breakup than I am and I sit here just clocked over a year post breakup of being single and why am I having this conversation or question in my own mind now? Maybe because I don't know, it's a year on and I'm starting to think about how it would be nice to have someone around and I'm thinking more about in my own mind the person that I'd like to be with. So then in thinking about that too, I'm also thinking about my ex and I wonder who he'll end up with too.
It's such a big thing, I reckon, for a lot of us where we start to – I was obsessed with wondering whether I would be in a relationship first or he would.
I think
– I was really fixated
I think he will be. I don't know why. I just have a feeling. I think there is like such a disconnect between my past relationship and my ex that it feels other life-like to me now. Like, I think about my life that I had with my partner for all of those years, and that's what's been such a trip out, which, A, I'm very grateful for, because it's been very easy to disconnect and walk away. But then on the other flip side, which I've spoken about in this podcast, part of me is like, was the last 8 years of my life a lie? That feels like there was another version of Christy, because I feel incredibly different now than when I was in that relationship. That feels weird to me. And we don't really have that many, like, mutual friends, if any, or even on social media. So I think there's an ability for me to disconnect and chop it off, like, quite easily.
Yeah, right at the hip.
But
legs. Yeah. Straight amputation.
But a mate of mine was recently lurking his Insta page and was like, oh, I've seen him like this chick's stuff, blah, blah, blah. And it just popped into my head that, and then I started.
Which he likes a lot of people's things because he's an Instagram person,
yeah,
right?
He's a hashtag content creator, yes. I, every now and then, was lurking his page, and I haven't done that in a really long time. As you say, because it's not in my ether of what I'm even thinking about, which is a good place that I sit in now, I think. That someone said, oh, check this out, I could look and be like, oh, lol, I wish you good luck. You know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But when, and I hadn't even really thought too much about who's the girl that he's going to end up with until my mate said this. And then I started to think about it. And it's almost like this weird guessing game that you would play, like when you're in primary school and you'd be like, who's your, what's your husband look like? Remember when you were in primary school, what's your wedding?
Well, I've got to say, Beth and I did that when we were in our late 20s, early 30s.
Well, maybe. I just remember this game, and it's almost.
It wasn't just primary school.
But it's fun to play this.
It's a great game.
Make believe, I wonder, I wonder, I wonder. So we were sitting there and we were describing the girl that my ex will end up with. And I reckon I know exactly who it is. It's an Insta model. It's the opposite to me. It's the actual opposite to me. Because it feels so other life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it feels so separate and so like, wow, what was that last bit of time? There were elements of him absolutely that I still love and will look for in other, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't all bad. Like, there was a big part of my life, but we ended up being very different people with different sets of values, different wants, and different drivers in our lives, you know, for what defines success and what we want to build around and what's important. And I think in the end, that was why we ended up parting ways, for not any other reason, like you cheated or it wasn't a fight. It was just very apparent for both of us in the end, where it's like, we're not supposed to be with type of person that you are, which is why I think we'll end up with very different people.
But I wonder if the person he ends up with, I wonder if you can attract someone like that. Like, say we're not talking about your ex for a second. Say we're talking about this other guy. His name is
Sam.
And he is a surface kind of person, like doesn't necessarily tap into his feelings much. A lot of it is about what you see online. And I wonder whether, and so you would think Sam is going to end up with maybe some, you know, Instagram blogger or someone that's, I'm not saying all Instagram bloggers aren't surface, but just to say meet like attracts like, right? So essentially they would meet a similar person. I don't know if that the law of attraction works on that level when it's not a core, like you're not really thinking or feeling with your core gut. I actually think some people have it switched off, and that makes me think they won't meet anyone.
No,
which
but
is actually
I,
very
no, but I think that is a core belief. It's tuning out and tapping out of any kind of authenticity to yourself. That is a core belief that then you will attract, I think, in somebody else. So if you're really running away from...
I don't know if that can be a belief. I think that's just tapping off.
But don't you think if the law of attraction works in that way that you would attract then more shallow, like-minded people?
Yeah, it is. It is interesting because I get it and I agree with you. But at the same time, I also think that to attract you need to be truthful, or it needs to be coming from somewhere real. And I wonder if that classifies as that real route. I don't know the answer.
I think you can so deeply want to run away from who you are and not be in touch with any form of realness in yourself, because for whatever reason it's too painful, it's too hard, it's whatever, that I think that in turn becomes you. Just like if you're somebody that's in touch.
Oh God, that's
no,
terrifying.
Genuinely, if you're somebody that's really in touch with who you are, you have deep conversations, meaningful relationships with yourself, I think you then in turn attract people of course, like that. Of course. So yeah. I think it works like black both and white.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I want to talk about a 9-week fitness challenge that we are doing with Vision Fitness. Mm-hmm. Now, I think a lot of the time when you hear any form of number, 6-week challenge, 8-week challenge, 2-week, whatever, you think straight away weight loss. That's not the reason we're doing it. And yeah. I think it's important to not discount the word fitness as meaning this like gym junkie, unhealthy, I'm going to starve myself, detox kind of way.
And I think there's two reasons for that. One of them, you and I are quite fit and healthy people generally. Yeah. So it's not just given to you. But secondly, I think we are lucky, both of us to some degree, that we have fairly good metabolisms we aren't people that are naturally put on too much weight to be unhealthy.
I would agree
and
with
I
that.
And I think sometimes that needs to be said because there's plenty of people in my life that have to do weight loss stuff because it, you know, naturally their metabolism doesn't churn through things like others.
And also, I think genuinely we like healthy food. Like every now, you know, like you'll, there's a balance.
I know, but I know think how, we were born with bodies that weren't overweight.
True. You know and I know mean? That like because our, after doing this thing, we figured out, well, I'm sure you did the same thing. That was very lengthy.
The body scan.
Oh, mate. It was like an hour and a half.
Mine wasn't an hour. Oh, there's a lot of questions.
Lots of questions.
Oh, did you write that questionnaire thing down?
Yeah, the personality type, your body type. I got my metabolism type, like all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Vision Fitness, very thorough to the maximum. Mm-mm. Anyway, you say the word body scan, and I freaked when she said this. I was thinking, am I going to go in this weird like MRI type weird tube machine?
Oh, God, no.
No, because I've had to do one of those before for
on your brain.
For my back operation and my brain and all that kind of shit.
It's not for a 9-week challenge.
No, but she said that is something like 99% accurate. You actually go through one of those full-on 360-degree scanners. And she said the apparatus that we have is 96% accurate for this body scan.
Right, okay.
Something like that. So she goes, it's quite insane what this is capable of in comparison to these big-ass machines. Mm-hmm. But it just looks like a little set of scales that you stand on and you hold these two little handles, you know, and they've got two kind of cords that you pull out, and she said stand there for 45 seconds and it does this kind of 360 degree capture of your body, and it drills down. I was amazed at the amount of information. It tells you your left and right hand sides, like the mass, the muscle mass, the water mass, and the weight, mm-hmm. which I was weirded out. I was like, my right arm is X amount of kilos heavier than my left. I've said this on the podcast before. I have not stood on a set of scales in, I reckon, might be even longer, but about 7 years. Mm. To the point where I went and got a full health check when I started seeing a therapist for my drinking. And one of her things for me to realize the effects that being blackout drunk was having on my health was to go and have a full health check with the GP. Because she said, you don't realize what that's doing to your cognitive ability. One of those things, obviously, when you get a full health check, and that was not to scare me, but it was a bit of a wake-up call, which it was.
Yeah.
And And part of that health check was to stand on a set of scales, which is just a standard thing to know your BMI, all that kind of stuff. I physically looked away from the scales at this GP because I didn't want to know what I weighed. I've always, especially when I was younger, had quite a an unhealthy relationship with my body and in particular my weight. I grew up in a household where
that number.
Yeah, that was very weight obsessed. I remember being a little girl and my mum standing on a set of scales every morning, every night, and writing down her weight, and her entire mood and day was dependent on whether she was more or less than she'd weighed the day before. So that was quite commonplace and just a very loud dialogue in my upbringing and my parents around who's fat, who's thin, who's put on weight, all that kind of stuff. So it was always quite an important thing for me.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about health. I'm talking about, as you say, the number.
Mm.
So I was bulimic for a little bit, and that was, you know, would stand on scales and became very obsessed with that number until I was probably in my mid-20s, and I was like, oh, this isn't good for me. Something just clicked where I was like, when I first moved out of home.
It must feel awful as well, forcing yourself to be sick.
Oh, it was disgusting.
Like, I know that sounds like a really basic thing to say, but, you know, you wonder where it gets to a point where, you know, you're not just like, yeah, you're not only not eating, not that there's one better or worse than the other, but you're not only not eating, it's quite an obvious way to make yourself feel, you know, to make yourself feel sick.
But
Does that make sense?
But that's why I did it, because there was so much self-loathing from the binge eating and you're gross, you need to lose weight. You know, like this real awful negative self-talk and dialogue that it was this form of punishment in a way. So
okay,
the fact that
so
it
that's
was
where the binge
Yeah,
comes,
the fact
yeah.
that it was awful and made you feel shit was the point.
Yeah, right.
Because in a way I felt I deserved to feel sick.
But yeah, but that's why it's important to paint that full picture. Is that it starts with the binge eating.
Yeah.
I think that's the bit that sometimes people see bulimia and it's like, oh, wow, you've just had a chicken salad for lunch and you've thrown that out. Often it's linked. But people don't know that, Christy. I didn't, you know, you don't necessarily know that there's such a full pronged, it's so complex.
My family would be, I'd be at home on my own and I'd be like, this is my window. I would go and it was almost like I was in a daze, like I wouldn't have awareness of what I was doing or what I was eating, like just rip open any, because there was such a denial, right, of like, you can't eat. So there would be, you know, no dessert, no sweets, no sugar, no nothing. So then in those binge moments, it was almost like you'd be this crazy person eating anything, chips, chocolate, cake, anything that you've denied yourself for the last week or so, and to the point where I wouldn't even want to eat it, but I would, because I was like, oh well, fuck it, I've come this far now, I may as well just eat it all, I'm going to be sick anyway. Lifeline is a good place if any of this is triggering,
or the
Butterfly Foundation.
I'm just
getting specifically for eating disorders.
Let me just quickly.
We'll put the links in show notes.
Sorry. Or the number is 1-800-334-673. They also have a web chat on the butterflyfoundation.org.au.
Something clicked. It was when I moved out of home. I never bought a set of scales. You know, you buy a microwave, you buy bits and pieces, you know. Mm-hmm. But there was such a complex history.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. It's certainly set up in your home, because when you just say the appliances or Graze Online scales, for me, would never have come up in my mind, because we didn't have them in our home at all.
Yeah.
So it is very dependent on, I guess, what you saw when you were younger. Because when I would get a dryer or a washing machine, first move out of home, scales was never a thought process.
See, that was the thing. It was almost like it was missing from my house. Yeah, it was a point.
So
I was
different.
Making a point that I was like, nah, I'm not having it. You know what I mean?
Whereas a lot of – well, maybe not a lot of people, but in my home, they were not non-existent.
So that's so good.
Yeah.
That's really good. So from that point, I don't think – sometimes when I'd come home on weekends, I'd stand and scale for the first few years of living out of home. But but it was – that's why I said I don't know if it's more than 7 years or whatever that I've lived out of home, that I haven't stood on a set of scales, because something clicked where I was like, that number, it doesn't matter, you know, I'd be feeling great, feeling really fit, healthy, clothes are fitting well, you know, looking
sexy.
All that stuff. I'd stand on a set of scales and be heavier than I thought I would be, and I'd be shattered. or vice versa. Feeling shit, sluggish, unhealthy, not eating that well, standing on a set of scales, less than I thought I'd be. And I was like, brilliant. It would almost reinforce like binge drinking and, you know, bad eating, all that kind of stuff. And I realized that for everyone's different, and my relationship with the number that I saw when I stood on a set of scales affected me and stayed with me more than, you know, the person next to me maybe standing on a set of scales that had a better relationship with themselves. So when we went to do this challenge and she said, we're going to do this full body scan, we get your BMI, your weight, all that kind of stuff, I was like, I genuinely have no fucking idea. I think I'm probably the fittest I've ever been. I'm definitely the most toned I've ever been. My clothes fit. I've always stayed around the same kind of size, around 8 to 10. I've always had a relative, I'm pretty tall, like a relatively healthy BMI, I think. And I've always thought I've sat probably around 60 to 62. So I was thinking it'd be that. And part of me, I said to her, before I stood on the machine, I said to Steph at Vision Fitness, I said, I'm a bit confronted, because I said to her, I haven't known my actual weight for 7 years. And it got to the point yesterday where I was like, oh, this is a bit silly, because you're in a different place now.
And it's too far the other way too. You want to be able to get to a point where you can look at things.
I'm not in denial anymore. And I'm in a much sturdier place where that number isn't going to affect me like it would when I was 19. You're going to be okay. You're in a different in a different place. So it doesn't matter so much. So you don't have to be running from this anymore. So in a way, it was probably a good thing, I think. But there was still a little part of me that got a bit fluttery in my chest as I looked down. I thought, whoa, that's a lot more than I thought it would be.
You don't even have to tell us a number, because I don't even think it matters. I think that's the point. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that is actually the point. Because I think when we start throwing numbers out, then someone else is listening to this going, that's more for you. That's nothing. Do you know what I mean? And then we all start comparing our own, when the whole point of this conversation is that it's not about those numbers, and it's not about what is going to, I think the reason that we focus so much on that number, why your mum did, why you did, why so many people do, is because of the picture we're meant to be looking for, which is super thin and potentially under 60 kilos. That's insane for how tall you are. And when you say that you want to be around 60, that's mine, and you're taller than me. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's insane. Like, that, we've got to all look at it really differently.
Because when we did the full body scan, right, she said, and I said, oh wow, like I was, and she said, Christy, you're on the lower side, like when it comes to BMI and body mass and muscle mass, and you're, and you know, they'd give you a percentage of your body fat, and she said, you're a fist of muscle, that's a kilo of muscle, whereas your entire forearm is a kilo of fat. So that whole thing, muscle weighs more than fat. She's like, it genuinely does. Like, you think of how many fists you could fit on your forearm. That's in, you know, in, to give you a bit of an idea as to how much more it actually weighs than fat does. And she was like, and even, because I think she saw me freak a little bit, but I was like, no, I'm actually good. And I had a bit of a laugh. I was like, oh God, this back in the day would have affected me. And I did text my mate and I said, whoa, I just need to, because I also didn't want to be in denial where I was like, I'm good, and deny that I had a little moment. And I texted my mate and I said, whoa, lol, that was a bit more than I thought. I guess that's what, you know, like, but also I didn't need somebody to say, but you're healthy, you've got a good BMI. I just needed to be able to say it without any judgment, to almost get it out of my system, to be like, I was a bit surprised at that, but also, hey, I also really like my body.
And I think it was good that you texted that number to your friend. I think, and I was gonna say we should say our numbers, and I actually think we so should not, now that we're talking about this conversation, because I think, like I said, straight away, you're something that's like a bit confronting for you could be someone's goal weight. And that's fucked up that we then someone has to feel bad about their aiming for something is that's confronting for you. And that's where we all get so confused, because how insane is that? Like, someone's goal weight might be what makes you feel confronting, and that's all okay. Everybody is different. That's the fucking point. And I think it's just that simple. It is that simple. And that the way that we define ourselves is not by that number. It can't be, just because of absolute science, as you've said, than, like, maybe in some ways, I would imagine that I probably weigh way less and are probably a little less healthy at the moment because I haven't had the energy this year to be as active as I would usually. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not, there's not a comparing game here, but I would have less muscle. Like, so go and tell yourself what you want for yourself. Maybe for me, it's been rest. So muscle's not that important. For you, for the amount you're working out, muscle's important because that means you're putting into your body and you're getting the benefits and the rewards of the all the workouts you do. So they are just so fucking different.
I think that's a thing too, like your body type, how easily you put on muscle and the makeup of your actual body, how much water you have in your body and how much is fat and how much is muscle is really different too. So,
and we've spoken about this so much on the show about how my anxiety has led me to be smaller and how people see that as something so favorable. You know, there's just so many fucked up ways that we look at this situation. You know, that's not favorable. At the moment, I know I talk about this a lot, but at the moment I go to the toilet and things go straight through me still. You know, that's not healthy. That's not healthy even if it makes you a smaller number. It's not what we're aiming for. It's actually the opposite. So for me, the vision fitness is about eating more. And that's the interesting part. Here we are all sitting here thinking we all need to eat less. Well, over here, this little pigeon eater needs to eat more for more energy. Because, you know, I have other things I've got to be putting on. So it is very different for everybody. And that's the big part to take away, that actually you've got to be comfortable with your own stuff. And I think it's really important what we've been taught already by this program. And if you are someone that is remotely struggling, maybe at the levels of a disorder and maybe just as a bit of an obsession over a number or knocking yourself about in the mind, you know, go get educated on what it all means. Redefine what muscle mass is. Redefine what water is, as you say. Just get some education. It might not be that you become some PT person every fucking three days a week, but I think I agree with you in that the education, the thorough education that they give you, definitely retrains the messages we've been told.
For decades.
Exactly. With the way that our parents teach us, but also with the way culturally your mum was taught to teach you. And that's the big problem.
I think I am now in a place where I am comfortable and in a healthy headspace with myself, the way I think about myself and the way I think about my body, which it's all part of that. It's not separate. I don't think you can be in a great headspace with liking yourself, but then also not a fan of your body. You know what I mean? Like, it feels quite, you know, all one thing. The best place that I've ever been. But I think I still wanted to say that I can still be in that great place, but have a little moment where I go, whoa, confronted for 7 seconds. And that doesn't mean that I'm catapulted back to when I was 19 and hated myself, you know? Like, so I think you can come. I think there was, but then there was judgment that when I was like, why am I confronted at this? I like my body. Why am I, you know? So I had to allow myself that, you know, 2 minutes, texting my mate, and I was like, and then I moved on with my day.
And I
like, it didn't have to, it didn't mean, didn't mean that, oh my God, now does this mean I don't like my body because I'm confronted at the number? No. You just haven't known the number for 7 years because you've been not in a place where you could probably handle knowing what weight you were. And I'm a denier and I deny. I would prefer to sit in denial. And I was like, just knowing the number now, whether that be, you know, a moment of confrontation or not, it's just, I'm in a good headspace that I can even know, because up till this point I was running away just in case I wasn't strong enough to handle what the number was.
And that's because we need to define our goals and our achievements on the basis of ourselves. So the fact that you're not in denial is your win.
It is.
Because that is a win for you. Yeah. And that's, I think we miss that. We look for definition around achievement or perfection or things to tick off that are kind of this broader spectrum of a measuring system. Our achievement measuring system needs to be on our own journeys and our own wins. And getting out of denial is not just a small win for you, Christy. It is a ginormous win. Gi-fucking-normous. And I think because it's not just a small thing. It's a massive thing for you.
Yeah.
It might not be a massive thing for someone else. But that's why it's so important to know what your challenges are and what your easy things are and know about yourself. So then you can can kind of measure your system from yourself and know that those wins are big for you, those aren't such a big deal for me. It's all going to be different for all of us, you know. So, we have to – I don't know how, what the way out is of us, you know, trying to just find our own personalized measuring system.
Well, knowing yourself, getting to know yourself.
Yeah. But I – man, it's important. I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah. The links are in show notes. As we said, if any of this is triggering, there are places of support for you or maybe somebody that you know.
We've both called places like this before. I've called Lifeline several times before.
I've called Butterfly Foundation.
Christy's called Butterfly Foundation. It isn't left for those people that you don't know that are on a bridge.
And,
and if it is, then
version.
Amazing. You know, it's they're there for all kinds of problems. It can be as simple as I'm not sure which way to go. And you listen to this podcast and you're still not getting relief from something, call someone, web chat now. There's plenty of options and they will all be in our show notes. Look after yourself. Get into therapy at all times.
Love yous.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
If you like that podcast, there's heaps more where it came from. Go to thethinkergirls.com.au and go through all of our oldie eps. Dare ya.
This podcast is presented by Stacey June and Christy Mercer. It's also produced by me, Stacey June, and produced and edited by Jordan Lott.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.